All right, it's predictably drunk again. At some point, I just got to stop being predictably drunk and just be confusingly hungover, I think. I might be addicted to this little podcast thing here. I'm back in my studio for the third time this week. Probably, I don't know if I'm going to record this one or I'm definitely recording it. I don't know if I'm going to release this one or not. This just might be what they call a vanity podcast for the sake of myself and my lovely, beautiful guest here with his big bosoms.
Hi there.
Do you guys know what voice that is? Don't give it away yet, sir. Say one more thing to the microphone and see if my guests...
One more thing to the microphone. Wow. Guests.
Is that creepy?
That is creepy.
That's creepy.
That is creepy. Right. If you haven't figured it out, it is Stephen Joseph Curry... The man, the myth, the legend, and I'm here with Stephen Joseph Curry. As my child knows him, Uncle Godzilla.
Uncle Godzilla.
How many nicknames do you have? You've got more nicknames than anybody I've ever met.
Scumbag.
Scumbag is what we call you. That's your
Piggy Banks, what my ex calls me.
Mr. Piggy Banks. Mr. Gimme Money.
Gimme Money.
Is what the ex calls you.
Data. That is one.
Dada, like you have one. Mr. Nipples.
Mr. Nipples.
And that's because you had your nipples pierced for a long time.
May or may not have been a hemp dog for a day.
Hemp dog. You were definitely hemp dog back in the... In fact, your AOL screen name back in the day was hemp dog 420, which I had to try to explain to my mother meant a big piece of poop.
It's a
that
big
looked like
poop.
Hemp rope.
That's right.
And I was trying to cover for you even back then. See, I've had your back since day one, sir.
Because we legalized the fiber and the fabric. See, that's what the hemp is. And then the weed you get high. But, you know, it's for medicinal purposes.
We're in our 30s. You can go ahead and let everybody know that you were smoking weed in high school.
Back then, yeah, maybe. Is this going to go on my background investigation?
So, this is Predictably Drunk, the podcast. I am Sam Marcoux. You can find me on sammarcoux.com, Facebook, Twitter, Tiger Clomedy. Find me on Instagram. Find Predictably Drunk on Instagram, where we just post stupid, dumb pictures on there. And I'm telling you all this because Stephen Curry is not on any of those. You have no social media whatsoever.
I have a video game that connects me to people I'll never meet.
So Steve has this weird thing where he plays a video game. Yeah, he's got this weird thing. So you play what is the name of this video game you play?
It's Game of War.
Game of War. If you guys aren't familiar with Game of War, it's the one with... what's that whore's name?
Kate Upton.
Kate Upton is on the commercials, and she's running around with her boobs all falling out, and she's running on a horse or riding a horse with a sword.
Slow motion.
Yeah, slow motion. So everything's bouncing, everything's jiggling, and that is the main reason you signed up for this game, is it not?
Well, I thought that if I beat enough people, I would see a boob. I didn't realize I could just Google it and not spend... What am I, 123 days into this?
So Steve has spent at least a decade, if my math is correct with those days, playing this game, looking to see a naked photo of Kate Upton. Meanwhile, there is nothing but naked photos of Kate Upton on the internet. So now that you know that, you continue to play. Why do you continue to play this game?
They have expectations of me. Okay, you know, they return my texts. Sam, just saying.
So this is your form of social media. You don't have Facebook. You have a MySpace that you forgot the password to.
Yeah.
You don't have Twitter.
Correct.
You're not on Instagram.
I'm on Plenty of Fish for those ladies listening.
So you can catch Stephen Curry on Plenty of Fish every 5 minutes.
Scurry 40 is the screen name.
Scurry 40. S-Curry 40. 40. Swipe to the left or to the right. So you don't have social media. So this is your form of talking to people. What my problem with this video game and these types of video games in general is that growing up, we played video games. You and I did. We spent many a weekend, many a night. Killing for people that don't know Steve Curry that are wondering why I have a non-comedian, at least a non-stand-up comedian in my studio right now, Steve Curry and I have been best friends since the first day of sixth grade. The first day of sixth grade, I moved to Dublin and...
We with a little more pride, okay?
Yeah, I was coming from the mean streets of Castro Valley and Hayward, California, and we moved to Dublin, which I hated because it was like 10 minutes away from all my friends, and I hated everybody immediately. And the first day of sixth grade, we have a homeroom, right, which is where you spent like the majority of your day. And they tell us, okay, everybody get, seat yourselves by alphabetical order. Now, everybody in the class went by their last name. Which is probably the right way to do it. But Steve and I, Sam and Steve, are like, oh, your name starts with an S, my name starts with an S, so let's sit next to each other. Now, meanwhile, your last name starts with a C, my last name starts with an M. So there probably would have been, you know, nine students in between us. We may have never met, well, we would have met, but we would have never become the friends we were if we weren't just two morons.
Oh, yeah. We were smarter. Yeah. You know, even nowadays, if we were smarter, we probably would be.
Yeah, friends. I mean, we just don't know any better. But we became friends because we sat next to each other on, you know, basically a mistake.
Do you remember the first thing you said?
Yeah, I do remember that. I was getting to that story. Don't interrupt. Wow. And that's where I was going. I should get back. I should finish this video game story. Steve and I used to play a lot of video games, right? And the whole reason why we played video games is because we didn't like other people, right? So the whole reason to play video games was to be antisocial. You have like one or two friends, you sit down, you play video games, and you shut off to the world, right? You play Mortal Kombat, and the whole point of Mortal Kombat is to kill the other guy. So like you're getting your rage out because you hate everybody and you don't want to talk to anybody. And that was the beauty of video games. And then it got to, well, now you get four players, and then you could connect a couple boxes and you could get 12 or 16 players playing the same game. And that's when it started. That's when I was out. That's when I tapped out on video games.
Fucking internet.
It's too fucking social.
Man.
It's supposed to be an antisocial platform for awkward people and people who hate other people. And now it is, like you said, it is a social media. People get married, engaged and married based on meeting each other at like World of Warcraft events and shit like that.
It's World of Warcraft theme wedding.
Yeah.
I don't know.
They make movies based on video games versus video games based on movies now. It's a completely different change and I hate it. I don't like it. I don't like that people are having fun. That's not what they're supposed to do. They're supposed to be angry little fuckers who play video games in their
smoke pot in their room with the lights off.
You're supposed to have black lights in your lamps playing Earthworm Jim and trying to figure out where the fucking cow is. That's what you're supposed to do. You're not supposed to be able to record your fucking video game and put it online and watch 5 million people watch your shit.
For all those playing Earthworm Jim still, the code is Yabba Yabba.
Yabba.
The last level. Not that I remember.
Yeah.
Not that I even play every day.
I wish we had Earthworm Jim now. But that's why I'm criticizing Steven for playing this game on his phone, because you are so anti-social media in general. Like, you won't even go on YouTube to watch my shit because you're like, wow, people might see me. But you'll play this game on the sole fact that you might see some model's boobs, which you could see for free on the internet.
Yeah. Yeah. It makes sense, doesn't it?
No, it makes no sense. Do you have a name? Do you have, like, a name on your video game?
I don't know. It's just me, Scurry. I'm not really
Scurry.
Clever.
No.
Oh, and my hero. They have a hero in there, and it's fuck you is his name. But it's all the letters for fuck, which is F-U-C-K.
Right. I think we all know how to spell it.
Is capitalized, and in between, like the F, there's a Y that's lowercase, and then an O.
So I see.
Fuck you, so it's clever. Yeah. So it's not really a bad word.
So people try to pronounce it probably like "fuck you." I don't make sense.
He must be Swedish.
He must be German.
Yeah.
Growing up, we always said we are going to be at WrestleMania, and I think we figured we'd be there as performers because we were very much into wrestling. But instead, we're going as normal, overweight, 30-something-year-old former fans.
Who play online video games.
Who play online video games and podcasts.
We grew up to be who we hate.
We grew up to be exactly what we were projected to be, I think. But the thing is, I'm excited to go because we were big wrestling fans. We're not necessarily the biggest wrestling fans anymore. I think we appreciate it for what it is. But we don't necessarily watch it every Monday and Thursday or whatever.
Or what day it is.
At 5 and 8, yeah. Just throwing random days out there.
Or whatever that show is.
Yeah, we don't watch SmackDown and NXT. And, no, we don't do any of that.
TNA is not a thing that we do.
No, we don't.
Is that
we don't trade tapes online. no, we don't. And that's the point. So we're trying to, we're sitting here. It's the day before WrestleMania, and we're trying to cram for WrestleMania, because we're not quite sure who's actually going to be wrestling. Like, we sort of do. Like, we know some of the players.
I know The Undertaker.
So, like, we know who Stone Cold Steve Austin is. Is he still wrestling?
He's a thing.
He's there.
Is he drinking beer still?
I think he does the thing.
He could be
He wears jean shorts, so he probably played video games.
Maybe he shouldn't be on here.
Yeah. And then The Rock. We know who The Rock is.
Yeah. He's the Fast and Furious guy, right?
Yeah, he's the actor who turned into a wrestler.
Oh, nice.
What about, I think Bam Bam Bigelow. We looked up Bam Bam Bigelow, and he's dead, so we shouldn't. Oh, no. We really shouldn't place any betting money on him winning anything.
I've seen dead people win some matches before, so.
You've seen a lot of dead people.
I've seen a lot of dead people. So, I'm a paramedic.
Steve is a paramedic. You've been a paramedic for how long?
Oh, God. I've been on an ambulance for 8 years. Of that, probably 3-4 years paramedic.
And I'm convinced, and I'm not sure how much you're willing or able to say, because you do have, an actual job. Yeah. You're not an asshole like me and the people that have, you know, that tell dick jokes for a living.
You tell great dick jokes.
Yeah,
Big
dick jokes.
You'll always remember as the guy with a giant dildo collection. Collection of giant dildos.
What inspired you to be a paramedic or go into the medical field in general? Is there a reason? Like, was that your calling, or was it just like, hey, this is a booming profession, or I'm a sadistic fuck and I just like seeing weird things? What was the reason for it?
Well, I have a long line of family members that are in the medical field. I have paramedics and doctors and nurses and everything else that are in the field. Ultimately, I can't work indoors. I'm outdoors all day.
Yeah.
I get to drive around. I get to go in people's disgusting houses, which, by the way, people have disgusting hoarder houses, which causes poor health, which makes me have to pick up your 700-pound ass and drag you out while you're complaining of toe pain.
What's the grossest thing you've seen in somebody's house? Other than mine, if you say anything in my house,
I've been in houses where there's stacks of newspapers and you shift them out of the way to clear a path for gurneys, and there's just dead smash cats.
Oh, it's disgusting.
You move them in and just the smell of it just comes out. And then I've been in a house where it's completely full of adult diapers.
Like,
everywhere. Like, full. Like, full of shit everywhere.
Like used adult diapers.
Used adult diapers. We have certain people that just lay. You know what a chuck is?
No, what's a chuck?
It's a pad you put down, like a puppy pad. And they cover their whole house with puppy pads because they're of larger size and they don't want to go to the bathroom, so they just kind of crap all over the place. Their whole house is just full of human shit.
That's disgusting.
It's disgusting. And probably one of the worst things I've had is other human shit on me. So.
Is that worse than like broken bones, blood, seeing a dead body on arrival? Is it worse for poo? Like, what's the worst bodily function?
Works too.
Function. That's like when you fail a bodily function. Like when you piss your pants, it's a function.
Yeah, exactly. Or if you didn't make it to the toilet, you flunked.
Yeah, if you pee in the bed, you flunked.
Yep, you flunked pants 101.
Yeah.
So probably one of the worst, it would be like a lower GI bleed. Usually a lot of times happens when you have an ulcer and you digest blood and then you start pooping massively.
The GI is what?
The GI tract, the gastrointestinal tract, it's everything inside of you. And you digest the blood and it has this rotten smell that comes out.
Ugh.
And it just comes out like a shit fountain. And a lot of times you'll get a blockage in the ass where you can't get it to come out, so it backfires and you start vomiting shit blood out of your mouth.
You're kidding me.
This is a real thing. And in the heat of the
you can puke shit.
Puke shit blood. Oh yeah.
Wow.
It's pretty impressive.
So I think
Melina?
Have you been there like when it's happened live in a person?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, and that's gotten on me. That's the grossest.
You retire the next minute after
you cry.
That? You cry.
But see, you cry. Oh, that's, you get predictably drunk.
Yeah, that's bad. Speaking of drunk, Steve does not drink. You used to drink.
I did.
You don't drink anymore.
I still do, but I used to.
Yeah.
But now right now I don't.
No. You're sober. You don't drink. You used to, and we used to drink a lot. We have a lot.
I don't remember.
Yeah. we drank. God damn, we used to drink a lot. I don't drink that much anymore. I mean, the show's called Predictably Drunk, but that's just because somebody back in the days when I used to drink saw me at a bar and said, oh, and somebody else asked, well, where's Sam? And they said, well, he's at the end of the bar, predictably drunk.
Yeah.
And I heard them.
You stole
it. And I stole it. Oh. Like a good comedian, I stole it.
Uh-huh.
And
a funnier joke from a funnier person.
Yeah, and I just, but a lesser known person. That's the key. Wow. If you're going to steal material, Hawaii comics, then what you're going to do is you got to steal it from people less known. You don't steal from headliners.
I've heard your Louis C.K. joke, Hawaiians. you knocked that off. Can I say his name?
Yeah, you
can I give a shout out to him?
So Steve is paranoid. The weirdest. So if you guys know Steve Curry, he's one of the most like bombastic, outgoing people that you'll ever meet. Like I was talking about this earlier. The day Steve dies. Steve Curry is everybody's best friend, and I laugh at this because everyone's like, "Oh yeah, that guy's my best friend. That guy's my best friend." And I'm like, "Well, guess who's Steve Curry's best friend?" So it's like a privilege for me to be best friend. So I really hope you die before I do, so that I can tell everybody that at your funeral. Which
here now, I'm predictably drunk. Sam Marcoux is my best friend.
There you go. I now have to release this.
That's right.
Everyone else can suck it. So take that, everyone. Joanne, Heather, Jay, ha!
Name a few more.
Yeah,
there's other people that like me, right?
But that's the thing. No, they're like you have that personality. You're just very outgoing. People like you. But you were nervous to get out. We did like practice takes on here because he was freaking nervous. We're sitting in my garage studio. We call it the garage, but we're sitting in the studio and. He's like, I don't know if we should record this. It was really strange how nervous you got about sitting here. We're just talking.
Have you seen this microphone here?
It's a nice microphone. I really,
you know, you have a lot of comedians on here. You have a lot of stand-up. You will have a lot of comedians.
I've had some good comedians come through here.
I feel like this is going to be a big thing for you. And this microphone thing in front of you, this is intimidating. I commend all you guys, especially standing up on stage and doing that. Like, I go into people's houses and there's mayhem. There's or some form of organized chaos where it's a family member is sick, dying, dead, family screaming, and I go into a mode where I could focus. But then when I
stand
up on a stage and
I go into that same scenario and I'm pulling out my notepad and writing jokes about why the lady's puking on the floor. Man. So it's just our skill sets, I suppose. A lot of the jokes, when you're a comedian, there's a few things you do when you write jokes. First thing you do is what you should do, and I've said this before, is you go on Google, you go on Bing, and you type in your joke a couple of different ways to make sure you're not accidentally stealing it from somebody else. And that's happened. I've had jokes where I'm like, that's a great joke. And I put it in. I'm like, motherfucker, Chris Hardwick had this joke, of all people, the singled out host. Man. But
Charles Kelly had this joke.
Yeah, Charles Kelly had it. I like 9 Oreos. 13. Wait a minute.
13 Oreos.
And there it is. Charles Kelly, you're now back on the show. But what you do is you.
I saw that guy.
Go ahead. Jump in.
He's hilarious.
Yeah, he's way funnier than I am.
Oh, God. He should be my new... Charles, on this show, Charles Kelly is my best friend. Not Jeremy Curry. He's my fifth best friend. Sam's the next four.
Yeah.
Is that math?
That works.
Yeah.
We took math a few times.
Yeah, math works.
So not only do I check if a joke's going to work on in terms of stealing it, but then the next person I go to typically is I'll write it out and I'll send it to Steve. And then he'll write back how bad it is. And then he'll make suggestions. And a lot of them are very good. So a lot of the jokes that you've heard on stage from me are usually vetted through you. So in many ways, you are kind of a comedy writer. Because
you're Paul Mooney.
You're a little bit like Paul Mooney, but darker. And
wait, in which way?
Mentally.
Oh.
Yeah, no, God, you're a goddamn beached whale with that fucking skin of yours. I guess where I'm going with that is like you do tie into comedy because most comedians have people that they bounce shit off of, or they should.
Or less funny.
And if they don't, then you really need to find somebody you can trust that isn't going to, you know, steer you wrong with. So you did the whole paramedic thing, you've got a medical field in your family, you have doctors, you have firefighters. You've got people that have done the medical thing. If you weren't in the medical field, what would you be doing?
I'd probably be homeless. Be living on your couch.
Oh, well, that's so you did that for a few years.
I did. I absolutely did.
In fact, Steve and I talked pretty much every single day of our lives. Ever since, before we had cell phones, we used to call each other on the phone. And we had pagers, we'd page each other, we'd talk to each other. If one of us went on vacation with our family when we were children, the other would make sure to call and leave annoying voicemails, which I believe was your creation. And my stepdad hated you for it because we would have one message and it would be 45 minutes long and it would just be you walking around the house doing nothing, talking, and just wasting all the VCR or recording tape. which I always thought was funny as hell.
You're dating yourself with this one. You know that, right?
I don't care. Fuck.
Pagers.
I'm dating PCRs. Myself in real life.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah.
I think we're going to have now heterosexual life partners.
That's how we introduce ourselves to people, as we are heterosexual life partners.
Okay.
So I'm going to let them think about that for half a second, because people are going to go, I don't know what that means.
It means we don't touch tips.
Right. It means that we're straight men who enjoy our company together more than anybody else.
That's right.
With maybe the exception of our children, and that's a maybe.
That's a maybe.
Like right now, like if they're sleeping, they're gorgeous angels. But when they're awake,
it hits me.
Yeah. And it kicks me in the ribs.
Yeah. You're just like snot involved in that. I get enough of that at work.
So honestly, you don't know what you'd be doing if you weren't in the paramedic. I don't know this about you.
Well, I used to be a personal trainer.
That's true.
And that's one of the things that got me into wanting to do this, is because I liked the life changing aspect of it. I liked making people healthier. I like helping people, which it's like a taboo for you to say when you're in the medical field. I like helping people. But the problem with that was I had to charge money for it, and that just seemed asinine for me to want people to make healthier decisions and expect money for it. But now I have a billing company that does it for me when I, you know, do a $1,300 ambulance transport. But if I wasn't doing that, I don't know, maybe stand-up comedy, telling dick jokes.
See, I think you would actually be a pretty good stand-up comic. I honestly do. I think you should. You get nervous with microphones, but I think you should go to an open mic, or maybe go to Kirby's. I bet you Jeremy would put you on at Kirby's.
I'd probably get knifed there.
Huh?
I have a feeling I get knifed there.
You're not going to get knifed at Kirby's.
I might.
You might get knifed at Kirby's. Yeah.
Not just that Kirby's is a bad place, because it's just me.
Yeah.
I probably deserve a knife.
But Jeremy would give you the opportunity, okay. And you could run some jokes by. We could get you on stage.
Get a palm sweat just talking.
Yeah, maybe not. We'll just keep you being a paramedic. And it's always good to have a paramedic as like your, you know, your best friend, or just in your life, because you never know when you're just gonna fucking keel over and die.
I'm great to bring to Vegas.
Yeah. Well, in theory, you're good to bring to Vegas. So can I tell the story about the 9 years down the drain?
Is
that okay? Because you're back on the wagon. Is it okay to tell?
How about just one?
Okay. All right.
Not like one long running one.
No.
Not the whole trip.
We're just going to tell the story. So Steve was basically, when everyone turned 21, Steve stopped drinking for his own reasons, religious, I believe. And he decided it just wasn't for him. So he didn't drink for a long time. And actually, you would put yourself in positions where I was surprised you didn't drink. Like, you would come to bars, you'd hang out. You know, people, hey, get a drink, that kind of stuff. And you never did. And in our, I guess, mid to late 20s, we hit a rough patch. We had our own issues, yours more severe than mine. But I never stopped drinking. I was like, I'm going to embrace this. And you were going through a lot of stuff. I won't get into all the details. I think most people that know you know what they were. But you came to me and basically said, man, I'm going through a really rough time. And I kind of jokingly said, we should go to Vegas. I think it was a Wednesday. And about 30 minutes later, I get an email from you, and you'd found a flight to Vegas that night.
On that horrible flight. Like, what is it? Yeah. Allegiant?
Spirit.
Spirit? Oh, it's the same.
Yeah. People that don't know Spirit Airlines, it's like the old, it's like going to the Salvation Army, and you find a shirt that you're like, yeah, it's still technically a shirt. That's what their planes are.
Have a stranger sit on your lap the whole time.
Yeah.
It's only a 45 to an hour flight.
It's not that bad, so you don't pay. And it was like 30 bucks.
Smell somebody else's hair the whole way.
Yeah, it was 30 bucks to fly to Vegas on a Wednesday. But the thing is, they only have one flight a day. So you're flying in at a very specific time, and you're flying out at a very specific time, which means we were flying out at like 5 in the afternoon, and we were flying back Thursday morning at like 5 in the morning. So we had about a 12-hour, not even a 12-hour window. We had about a 10-hour window in Vegas. So before we get to Vegas, we go and have sushi at the airline bar. We get to Vegas. Within a few hours of Vegas, and I'm going to spare everybody the details, because, quite frankly, you weren't there, so you don't get to know what happened. But let's just say we came into some money.
Mm-hmm.
We came into some money. Wasn't necessarily our money to begin with, but we found some money. And we made friends with people that don't necessarily wear clothes
and like money
and like money.
That doesn't happen to be ours.
And then at some point we were asked to no longer be around these people. And I'm not going to say why, but it was not me necessarily.
And I was got a knife pulled on me.
And the other thing that was weird is on that whole trip of 10 hours, I got out drank. We got a room. Remember that? We got a free room at the Jockey Club. Very nice room.
Beautiful.
I think we were there for 30 minutes.
Chandeliers.
30 minutes.
Like dead hookers in there.
No, not
the Jockey Club. I promote it.
Yeah, they got the Kirby vacuum and spread it out. But we got this very nice free room upgraded because we won, or we got some money. We didn't win anything. IRS. And we were in this room for maybe 30 minutes, which is a bummer because it was a really nice room. But we went out, we explored, we met people, and we met a homeless guy. I fed a homeless man to leave me alone.
Uh-huh.
I took him to McDonald's.
Chicago Bob, I think.
Chicago Bob. Oh, and I said, Chicago Bob, if I buy you breakfast at 4 a.m, will you kindly leave me alone for the rest of my life? And he said, yes. So we took him, remember this? We took him to McDonald's, and he proceeded to order everything.
Not even the value menu.
No, he went full price. I'm like, you want me to pay $1.49 for your Filet-O-Fish? Are you fucking kidding me, Chicago Bob? But, you know, we had money. So we paid for that. And then we went and got on a flight and we flew back home. And I did the math and I realized that in that time, you hadn't drank in nine years.
Yes, sir.
I drank all the time. In that time frame, and I think you outdrank me on that trip.
I'm pretty sure.
I'm almost positive you did, which is why I was very upset after that. Because A, I lost, and B, I'm like, oh man, he shouldn't drink.
Yeah.
If he can go 9 years without drinking and then still have that, then oh man.
And he's back.
And he's back. But you don't do that anymore. That was a one time year. Yeah. And you're back to doing.
From what I remember from that year, I don't remember that year. So it's, you know. My bank account remembers it. It definitely was costly for me.
Okay, so here's the thing. Here, I'm gonna put you. We're gonna end this. We're gonna end it on a WrestleMania prediction.
Okay, I'm ready.
And then we're gonna do a post WrestleMania show immediately following this, but they won't know that because I'm gonna edit this out. Who's going to win the main event?
Oh God, who's fighting?
You have Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns.
Brock Lesnar's the one that got punched in the stomach by Alistair Overeem and lost in real fights, right?
Okay, that's so, one way of looking
so
at it.
So I'm going to say he's gonna save face, so I think he's going to win.
So Brock Lesnar is the champion. You think he retains in the main event of WrestleMania 31?
I think so, yes.
Okay, over Roman Reigns?
Yes.
Okay, I think you're wrong.
Okay.
I don't know if Roman Reigns walks out of there as champ, but I think somebody else is going to be champ by the end of this. And I'm not sure who that is or what that means, but somehow Doink, Duke the Dumpster Jarossi is going to win.
Dumpster Jarossi.
Well, hey, we're at 35 minutes. Thank you. We're going to do a couple more episodes, I think. That was fun.
Is that a Sacagawea coin?
Fuck you. Sacagawea. Welcome to San Jose. Yeah. Chuck E. Cheese. So, since you have nothing to promote, let's promote sammarcoux.com. Let's promote Predictably Drunk, the podcast that you're listening to. Find us on Instagram at Predictably Drunk. Find us on the internet, I guess. You can find Steve as Scurry on War of Games.
Scurry 40.
Scurry 40 on Game of Thrones. World of War Game.
Plenty of Fish. You can find me in Plenty of Fish.
You can catch Steven on Plenty of Fish every Wednesday and Thursday morning, evening, and night. And
if you need to get a hold of me, 911.
Here's his number, 911.
Write that down.
Write it down. So, all right. Well, thanks, everybody. This is, the name of the show is Predictably Drunk. Smart people talking about stupid things, usually.